Bill Lane crosses up Van Hula, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No, that's good.
She got it.
Katie Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Another Thursday, 6 p.m. here on WZND, and you know what that means. We are here for the Red Zone. It's Joey Dwyer with you. You're usually used to hearing Hector, but he's out of town at a little radio conference, so it's me and Scott here in the studio for you today. But don't think that means we have any less of a show for you. We're starting off big. We're going ISU women's soccer starting us off. They had a big rebound win. We're going to talk about that. They've got a big game coming up tomorrow, MVC tournament as well. Heading into the second segment, we're going to go basketball, both women's and men. The women had a little scrimmage last night against Lindenwood, and they took care of business. The men are getting ready for their first game of the season on Wednesday. Then coming in third, we're going to be talking a little Chicago sports action for you, so stick around for that. And then fourth, we've got the best segment in all of sports talk radio, the Pick Six, on the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State infielder Owen Miller, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
It's the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. That was my best Hector Carrion impression. But I am Joey Dwyer. I'm sitting across from our producer, Scott Rizzala. And we've got a very special guest with us tonight, taking the place of Hector and the news and sports guest. You might know him from his DJ shifts, or if you're a big Wake Up Normal fan, you'll hear him every single morning at 7 a.m., Keegan Johnson. Keegan, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Honestly, guys, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I know I'm not Hector, and no one can ever live up to Hector on this show, honestly, because he does a fantastic job, and you both do a fantastic job as always, but I'm just going to say it's going to be a pleasure to work with you guys today.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't really know Keegan, you better, because if you're waking up early and you're doing you're listening to the car on the way here to either work or school, whatever it is, Keegan Johnson, you do a little Wake Up Normal. So what is that? You do that from 7 to 9?
I do. I do that Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on 103.3 WZND. It's a great time. I'm with my other co-host as well, Joy, and my producer, Brandon. We do a fantastic job on that show. Talk a little bit about everything, honestly, entertainment, sports, local events that are coming up as well.
And it's a great show. Scott and I have both been on it before. It's a great time. And transitioning a little bit, Keegan, you talked about it in the newscast. The weather today took everybody a little bit by surprise. And Scotty was saying he had a little story from this morning, but he wouldn't tell us. He's like, we'll save it for the show. But now I want to hear what it was.
I'm excited.
Listen, so I was a little busy yesterday, so I didn't really even look at the weather. I didn't even know. I know people were saying, hey, there might be a little snow, whatever. I kind of let that go. I just let it go by. And I go up, and I wake up this morning, and it's around like 10:15, and I look outside, and it is absolutely just coming down with the white stuff. And I tell you what, Joey, I love it. I played hockey, I snowboard, I do all this stuff, but I go out there, and I'm like, oh, and I got to clear off my car. Like, I'm just not ready for this. It's October 31st. Sometimes
it's Halloween. It's Halloween. There should not be 3 inches of snow on the ground.
Like, yeah, little jack engines out there. So I go out there, and I try to start my car. Car doesn't start. So already we're having a little rough start to the day. I go back upside or inside. I grab my backpack. I walk to class. I get to class 5 minutes late. As I get to class, find out that class is absolutely canceled. We're not having it. Everyone's at Yikes. Home sleeping in bed. Your boy's a little upset. Yikes. So I walked all the way back home, took a 30-minute nap, went to class at 12:35. So it was a very rough morning, but you know what? I'm feeling good. I'm ready. We're here in Red Zone from 6 to 7. This always brings up the day, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nightmare situation.
Yeah. That's why you always check the emails.
And the snow has not only affected Scott and his ability to get to class on time, but it also affected the ISU women's soccer team. They were supposed to play against Drake tonight at home, but because of the snow, the game actually got moved. They're playing at a central location. Fun fact, my hometown of Bettendorf, Iowa.
There you go.
In what world are the Drake Bulldogs? I want to go because it's at the TBK Sports Complex, and I am trying to go because I worked there over the summer a couple years ago. But it's a huge game for the Birds. They're taking on Drake. The winner of this game will be the second seed in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament.
And I saw that, and I think it's either the winner. I think if ISU either wins or draws, actually, which would be big, then they get the second seed. And the second seed is really huge.
Especially absolutely.
In the conference that we've had and the teams that have been playing in it. Everyone's kind of playing good, and this is crunch time. I get that the regular season's great, and you want to perform as well as you can, and ISU soccer has done that. But when you come out here and you see these teams, I mean, when it's playoff time, anybody can win. We saw it with the Washington Nationals, if you guys watched out there. If you're watching the World Series, you saw that an underdog team came out and beat, you know, the highly anticipated Houston Astros at home. So, you know, that's big. So back on soccer, we got a lot of things going on here, but the way I kind of look at it is, I guess my question for you is, you guys being soccer fans, is are you playing for the draw? Are you changing your game plan to play for that draw? Are you sitting back and playing defense, or are you playing like you normally would and give the ball to Kate Delfava and still play offense,
well,
go for the win?
For the Birds, what I'll say is you have Kate Delfava, one of the best goal scorers in the NCAA right now. She is incredible. And you have Haley Smith. Haley Smith had a rough game against Loyola, came back, put up her 10th clean sheet of the season, shut out Missouri State. And so if I'm the Redbirds, I'm not playing to draw. I'm playing to win.
Exactly.
Because you're going after this game, you're going straight into the Missouri Valley Conference. This game is tomorrow, Friday, November 1st. Missouri Valley Conference tournament starts on November 3rd. So any momentum you can have going into that is going to be huge for your team.
Exactly. You kind of just want to ride the wave, because it's like if you go into this game and you get a big win, Kate Delfava is still leading your way into the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. You're just going to want to ride that wave because that leads to momentum. It's known in every tournament in college sports in general, that if a team's hot, you can go far.
And they got a strong forward, obviously, in Kate Delfava, like we said. But they also have Natalie Van Lowe in the midfield. She's been playing very dominant. She's the reason she has all these assists, because she's setting up Delfava. And then she's going back and forth. She's getting some goals for herself. She's got like 5 or 6 on the season as well. So you got a lot of these players coming out and playing very well. But you look at Haley Smith. Obviously, she didn't have the best game, but she's got 10 clean sheets. That's an ISU all-time record. She tied it last game, but that 10th one gives her the title. So when you have a goalie as strong as that, I kind of relate that back to the Men's World Cup. Obviously, it's not last year, because didn't make it, but the 2014 World Cup, when Howard just had like 16 saves and was unbelievable and kept him in that game against Belgium. And so that just goes to show, when you have a goalie that can make these saves and keep that a clean sheet, you had a very good chance of winning games.
And when you look at the Drake side, there was a lot of hype coming up from this team early in the year. They played some huge opponents. They played Creighton, which is a huge soccer school. They got Iowa State, Colorado, and Baylor was ranked 21st in the nation. And they went to overtime with Baylor. So Drake was tacked to be the number one team in the preseason for the Missouri Valley. And they just have failed to live up to expectations. They had a couple early losses, Loyola and Missouri State. And then they've rebounded since. They've had a couple easy teams, Evansville, Valparaiso. And so now they're taking on the Birds. And you have to look at the fact that Missouri State beat Drake 1-0, and we beat Missouri State 1-0. So I guess it's kind of like it's complimentary. You can almost look at it as who's going to be able to come on top. And I think the Birds have the edge there.
Well, I also want to say this. Also, let's shout out Haley Smith real quick for getting that ISU record, because that's phenomenal. Also, I would say this too, is defense does win championships. If you can have a goalie like that who can stand her ground and constantly keep the ball from going in the net, it's going to be fantastic going into the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, because it's like she's going to have so much momentum, she's going to have so much hype behind her, and she's going to have her teammates as well to kind of help her out with that. And I mean, like I said, defense wins championships, and I think they honestly have a good shot of winning the Missouri Valley Conference.
And kind of a fun fact, taking a look at it, I looked at this Drake roster, there's actually 4 or 5 starters on the team that are actually from Iowa. So I know for the teams, it's a neutral ground, but kind of looking at that, because Joey, you're from Iowa too.
Yeah.
So when you kind of...
It's a tight community. We all know each other.
Oh, 100%. And you're an athlete. And let's say you're an athlete and you're playing in Iowa. I mean, how much does that kind of help you?
And the thing is, it's almost... It's a little... it's kind of a smokescreen, if you will, because Des Moines is 3.5 hours away from Bettendorf, whereas we are only 2 hours away now. So even though there might be more Drake fans in the Quad Cities, it's still traveling wise, you're going to have the ISU faithful who are out at every game. You're going to have them there. I'm considering going myself. I'm trying to get these guys to go along with me.
It's a trek, but
this is going to be a great game. And I think if the Birds can win this, it gives them a great spot going into the Missouri Valley Conference. They'd be second in the Missouri Valley, and they'd have all that momentum. And the only team they'd have to get past is Loyola, who already beat them. We've already seen them, and they're a tough team. Loyola is a tough team, no doubt. But I think with the momentum, we could take the Missouri Valley Conference.
I think we can, too. And I think just this team has proven time in and time again that they are a very powerful team. But there's some good and there's some bad things with that, because when you are a power team and people do know that you're very good, they're going to be watching tape on you. They're going to be gunning you. They're going to know. I mean, I compare that to the Bears. They went 12-4 last year because they were kind of an underdog team, and now everyone knows they're good. They watch so much tape on them, and now we're 3-4. So it's just when a team comes out and they're very powerful throughout the year, they're definitely a team that's going to be gunned for. So they have to be on their game. They can't take these games, you know, less seriously. They have to come in there, and I think they will.
And the Birds are a very powerful team. Just to recap, they are taking on Drake tomorrow in Bettendorf, Iowa, hometown of myself, at the TBK Sports Complex. That game is going to be at 12 noon. We are going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We've got some ISU basketball coming for you here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Welcome back to the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND. Joey Dwyer, Scott Rosala, and Keegan Johnson with you. And we're going to transition into some ISU women's basketball. They took a big win in their first exhibition match of the season, beating Lindenwood University 89-61. But a couple of red flags came up, as in the third quarter, they were outscored 27-22. And so a mixed bag coming into the season for this ISU women's team.
And you know what? It is scary to see that, but it is really early. It's an exhibition game. So obviously these players are going to come out there. They're going to get fatigued. They're not ready yet. Obviously all teams, when you're Division I, you're working all year round. You're doing summer stuff. You know, you're doing the fall stuff before the games. But I'm not too worried, because they did come out and they pushed the floor very well in the beginning. But coming out like that, it's obviously you don't want to see it. But I believe in this team. I believe they're going to come out and have a very good season.
I do as well. It's like, also, you got to take it into this consideration, is that Kristen Gillespie, the head coach for the team, she's going to be able to go back at that team. She's going to be able to go back to that tape, watch it, and, you know, kind of learn from it. It's like what we need to work on, and it's probably defense, because it's like you said, fatigue, conditioning, and everything like that. But also, we have to take in consideration that some of these players did play pretty well, honestly. It was a good, well-fought game. 89-61, but I mean, we had Lexi Wallen going for 21 points off of 10 of 13 shooting.
And another one of those players who played very well, T.T. Magid, who was actually on the preseason MVC all-conference team. She played 27 minutes. She played an incredible game, 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 of those rebounds were defensive. And so she was all over the floor, played more than anybody else, and that's really who I think Kristen Gillespie is going to base this team around this season.
And we saw T.T. Magid last year. She had a very good season, but she came off the bench. It was due to injury. She didn't start last season, and she kind of took over around maybe like midway through the season.
She came in about, like, I was Anthony Ferretti and I were calling the Hoops in the Heartland last year, and that's when she really stepped up into that prominent role.
And that's big, and that's athletics. I mean, that's really what it is. When a player goes down, obviously you don't want to see that, but when a player goes down, that gives another player a big opportunity to come out there and really make a play, and T.T. Magid has done that.
Yeah, and I was going to say, T.T. also could possibly come off the bench this year, because you do want to have that spark off the bench. You know, that six-man position is one of the most important spots in all of basketball, because you do want that spark to come in at like a midway through the first, and then, you know, build that team back up, get those fresh legs on there, play some great defense, hustling, because she's hustling. She's got 10 rebounds. She had a double-double last night in an exhibition game, so she was playing her butt off that game.
And another player, Scott, you were talking to me when we were doing prep for the show. You said Mary Crompton really stood out to you, looking at her stat line, I can see why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was it say? 4-for-8 from three-pointers. That's insane. 50% from the three. You'll take that any day of the week, honestly. 18 points, 7 of 12 shooting. That's great. That's really great, honestly.
And that's something that the Redbirds really lacked last year, was that presence from the perimeter. They had a lot. They played a very inside-the-paint kind of a game. And so to have a player like Mary Crompton step up, who was on the team last year and showed flashes of this outside, this perimeter shooting, to have her really start hitting her stride from out there, that's something that is a very good sign for these Birds moving forward.
And let's not forget, she's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah,
she is She's not a senior. She's coming out here. She's young. She's kind of getting used to everything. And that's great. When you see young talent like that, you know they're going to be here for the next four years. That's how you build your program. And that's huge.
And I was going to say, you want them to build that program. You want her to gain that confidence into being like, okay, it's like when you have the ball, it's like if you are open, take the shot, because it's like if you can make 50% of your shots from it, the coach is going to give you the green light to shoot that no matter what.
And we brought up T.T. Magic. She is a senior. And when you have a senior like that and you have these up-and-coming freshmen, that's a lot of responsibility for T.T. Magic, because they're kind of looking up to her. I mean, they're coming in there and she's showing her experience, kind of getting these players going so that when she leaves, they kind of, you know, kind of pass the torch, if you will, so they can come in and play the game and start dominating.
And the senior players that left last year were not a shabby class at all. You had Katrina Beck, who was their outside presence, Variah Livingston, who played a pivotal role in running that offense, and then Simone Goods. I was talking about how they ran their offense through the paint. That was because Simone Goods had that physical presence down low, and so it's nice to see that Kristen Gillespie is able to kind of adjust what they're doing strategically to fit her personnel and who they have on the team now. And I'm very excited for this Redbirds team moving forward this season.
It's just such an exciting time, whether it's men's basketball, women's basketball, college basketball.
I love
is
it.
One of the greatest sports to watch. And there's so many ups and downs. I mean, we looked at, like, what was it, 2-3 years ago, we looked at the men's team, how they had such a good season. They were like 24-7 or 26-8, I think, maybe 26-8. And they didn't get that at large. And everybody thought, hey, ISU basketball, we're finally going to get there. We haven't won the championship. Obviously, the women's team, they're kind of in the same boat, but we're getting there, and I feel like there's a lot of potential. Last year, they had a lot of high praise on them. We had a lot of players come back with Malik Yarbrough and those guys, and they were big-name players, but the chemistry just wasn't there. It wasn't, and this year, it feels good. Like, we talked to Dan Moeller, we talked to some of the players, and things just feel good. They have a good vibe. They have some good chemistry in the locker room, and they're coming out here. If they can do that, and they can emulate that, and bring that to the game when it's time to come, that's big. I mean, let's look at some of the teams they're playing. They're playing Nevada. They're playing Cincinnati. We got schools. Obviously, they're not like Big Ten schools, but these are schools that have been to the tournament time in and time out. Obviously, Nevada, they lost the Twins. They're not as good as they were last year, but these are some big-name teams, and we play them in the beginning of the season, and that is what you want, to get those wins early.
And quick, right before we transition over to the men's basketball, because we're talking about them too, just to wrap up on the women, they played that exhibition against Lindenwood. That was last night at 7. They are kicking off their season Tuesday against Truman State. That will be in Redbird Arena. You can listen to it here on 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation, and that's going to be a good game. But now, to transition over to the men, and Scotty beat us to the punch a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
They had
jumped ahead a little bit. Yeah,
you're good. They had their exhibition game against Truman State, who the women are playing. They won that with relative ease, 74-68. But now they're taking on Belmont on Wednesday, which is going to be a huge game. And then they've got Little Rock and UCF. Before, Scott, you said it, Cincinnati, Nevada could be an option. Bowling Green
TCU.
Could be an option. TCU is going to be a big game. And we talked to Dan Moeller Dan Moeller on the show a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about the strength of the schedule and the youth of the roster, and he said there's more leadership in this roster now than there has been since the locker room was led by Paris Lee.
And that's huge. That is absolutely huge for a dynamic of the team. But there's some players that really stand out. So a lot of players that stand out, but we saw the face. He's the Fabio-looking guy. If anybody knows, all the listeners out there when they're watching, they don't know the names yet. He's the guy with the long hair. Matt Chastain. Matt Chastain hustles more than any college basketball player I've ever seen. He's getting rebounds. He's crashing the board. He's playing defense. And that is absolutely huge for a team. When you have a player like that, it just lights you up, and it just gets the morale going.
I was going to say, he's probably going to be the X factor on this team, because he is such a great spark for this team, because it's like he's got the fire in him. He's going to go up and get a rebound. He's going to make a great dunk, because that man can jump out of the gym. He has the athleticism to do anything. I hope he continues to work on a shot as well, because he needs to get get more comfortable with that. But I feel like he can do that because he is willing to put in the work, which I love to see that.
And another guy who we talked to Coach Moeller about, Keith Fisher. He was redshirted last year due to NCAA regulations, but he was elected a team captain without even playing a game for the Redbirds last year. So that's the leadership we're talking about, and he's going to have a very big role on this team. He looked really good in that exhibition as well.
And hey, since we're all picking favorites, I got to go with my guy. I have to go with him. I've been riding him last year. I rode him this year. Zach Copeland.
He played lights out that game.
Oh, my God. He played unbelievable. And if that's something that we're going to see throughout the entire year, I loved Key. I loved Keyshawn Evans last year. But he had some injuries. He had some thumb injuries last year that kind of prevented his shot. You saw it. It just wasn't as silky as smooth. He wasn't scoring as much from behind the arc. If Zach Copeland can come up and emulate Keyshawn Evans and elevate that shooting game, that's scary for the Birds. Mm-hmm.
And looking a little bit at last year, there obviously were a lot of expectations going in, right? We had the big three. We had Malik, we had Keyshawn, and we had Phil Fain. And there was just so much underperformance that I think now people are starting to look at the Birds, and I think we've gone from overestimated to underestimated, because watching how well this team has gelled together this early in the season with a lot of younger guys, I think that if they can really figure out this offense, because their defense is phenomenal. And so if they can figure out this offense and figure out how to beat teams with it, I think it's going to be a very good season for the Birds.
And let's be honest, as much as we don't want to say it and we hate it being here, we're a mid-major. And people look down upon the mid-majors. They don't see that. But you look at some of the teams. Murray State was a mid-major last season.
Yeah. Belmont made the tournament.
Is a mid-major. And John Morant. Second pick in the draft. Comes out here. Unbelievable talent. So there's a lot of players. Basketball, think about it. There's only, what, like 13 to 15 players on a roster.
Exactly.
You think of all the players that are coming from around the world and playing this game. There's really not many spots. You look at the Division I schools. It doesn't matter if you're a mid-major, you're a Big Ten. If you have the talent, if you have the chemistry, that's all that matters. So when you do look down at us, and you do look down at the mid-majors, I feel like that, as an athlete, being a former athlete, that would make me want to play even harder. And you look at Loyola, mid-major. Out of our conference, they make it to the Final Four.
Exactly.
How many teams do that? Just proves that college basketball, it's getting so liquidated. There's so much talent out there that really anybody can beat anybody. We see all these upsets. We see Virginia, a one seed, getting beat by a 16 seed. And that's why I love college basketball, because it's so different than football. Football, you'd never see Alabama lose to like a small school. You never would. But basketball, you get all these schools, and that's why I love it. And that's why I love the chances for ISU. No one saw Bradley winning the tournament last year. No one saw them go into the tournament.
And no one saw Bradley even going up and giving even a fight against Michigan State in the first round of last year.
And they did.
That they gave him a fight. It, honestly, that should have been us. I will say that right now. That should have been the Birds.
Yeah. Still a little salty.
Still a little salty about that. That should have been the Birds in that game. But we would never expect it from these mid-major colleges to come out and show heart. And that's what makes college basketball so great. It's because it's magical. The Cinderella runs are fantastic. Everyone loves them.
And talking about playing bigger schools, playing down to mid-majors, let's take another quick look at the schedule for the Birds coming up. We talked about Belmont. That's next Wednesday. And then they've got Little Rock and then UCF. All three of those games are going to be here at Redbird Arena, which is huge for the Birds. Every Redbird sport thrives off of home field, especially the football team. The basketball team is no exception. And so those are going to be three big games that the Redbirds are going to want to win to kind of prove themselves in the conference. And then they go to the Paradise Jam. That's in the Virgin Islands. That's where they're going to see Cincinnati, Bowling Green, Nevada, Valpo, Grand Canyon U, all of those teams. And then we get one more big game against TCU, and then we get into Valley play. And so we have a lot of opportunity to get our team figured out before we jump into conference play.
And let me ask you guys a question. Taking a look and talking about this schedule, if we have a very, very successful season with the strength that we have, we beat Cincinnati, we beat teams like Bowling Green, maybe we beat Valparaiso or Nevada, TCU, whoever we beat in that tournament, whoever we end up playing, because obviously they have to win too. If we can go and have a solid record, maybe two or three losses, do you believe that we get an at-large? Can we even be ranked, even in the top 25?
I don't – this team, I think, is – even though I do think they're very talented, and I think they are going to put up a fight in the Missouri Valley, I think there's a lot of youth, and there's a lot of inexperience with each the other guys on the team. I just don't know if the gelling can happen. I think they have the potential, and maybe next season they can really put that together. But for what I'm hoping for, my expectations for this season, I'm just hoping to get a good conference showing and maybe do some things in the tournament that we haven't been able to do in the past, because in the past couple of years we have not been able to close in the Missouri Valley in Arch Madness down in St. Louis. And I think this is the team and this is the leadership that will be able to do that if they can put those wins up.
Exactly. I would say that it's because if we get those two couple of big wins, like against these bigger schools and everything, we might be able, the chemistry will be there after that. I do believe so. But I mean, I'm not really sure if we will be ranked yet or not, but I mean, honestly, prove us wrong. Please prove us wrong. We would love to see our birds
ranked. Absolutely.
We would love nothing more than that. But I do not think just yet. We are pretty young, I will say that. But once we get into the Valley play, I do believe we're going to put up a solid fight in the Valley. And we can honestly go deep in the Valley play as well and in the Missouri Valley tournament.
And as Redbirds fans, all we can hope for is to go deep in the Valley. But before we get to the Valley, we've got Belmont, November 6th. That is next Wednesday, 7 p.m. They're playing right on Doug Collins Court. You can catch that game here on 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Keegan read us some news, and then we're going to get into a little Chicago Bears. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. And let's just jump right into this Bears talk, boys, because
we are
all Bears fans here, and it has been disappointing, to say the least, watching them drop these last three.
It is. And the thing is, when you're a team that is expected to win the big NFL championship game, we're not going to say the word because we're not allowed here. Honestly.
Yeah, absolutely not.
When you're projected at the beginning of the season, you went 12-4 the season before. When you're going 3-4 and you have games that you should win, you should beat the Saints. They didn't have Kamara, they didn't have Breeze, they didn't have Jared Cook. We should have beat the Raiders. We were in London. Obviously, that whole thing happened with going 2 days before. How do you go 2 days before? I mean, that's an upper, you know, level thing.
Yeah.
How do you go to London 2 days before, adjust to that time zone, that time, and then play a game? These guys literally got there. They were there for like 18 hours before that game. Yeah. How do you do that as an athlete?
Honestly, I have no idea. That just kind of proves of how good these athletes are and like how good they can adjust to these types of things.
The Raiders were there for a week.
And the thing is, I think it can all be traced back to, I think, and there's this big debate going on right now, right, where it's, is it Mitchell Trubisky or is it Matt Nagy, right? And I think there's just been so many things going on in the office, the front office, and on Matt Nagy's part. It's hard to blame Mitch when he isn't getting the chance to develop because of the bad play calling around him.
Listen, you can look at it so many different ways. There's so many ways to look at it. Is it the play calling? Is it the offensive line? We had Kyle Long, who's always hurt. He was getting bodied every single time he made a play. Is it the run game? David Montgomery really didn't do anything to stand out until about week 7, week 8. With the play calling, the receivers, we really only have Allen Robinson. Trubisky is missing some wide open targets, yes, but he is not comfortable in the pocket. So how is a quarterback going to settle down and make these throws when no one's really getting open? He's not really settled in the pocket. He's freaking out. He's throwing the ball away. He's still technically a rookie. His first year really didn't matter. His second year, he was kind of a game manager, I would say. Like, he wasn't like a stud, but he did exactly what he had to do. He had the number one defense in the league. I mean, all these things play factors. Now the defense, Akeem Hicks got hurt. A couple other players. We had Roquan Smith have some anxiety or, you know, something with his head, something he just wasn't acting right. He had to sit. So whether it's injuries, Eddie Jackson has not had a pick all year. So there's players like this that are coming out, they're not playing well, and we're just getting dominated. The Raiders, Josh Jacobs had no business, absolutely no business running for 138 yards on a team that doesn't even get that. Combined. In the air and on the ground, they had 299 yards on our defense, and that is unbelievably bad for our team.
And what I'm going to say to that, my rebuttal to that is, one, Eddie Jackson doesn't have a pick all year because he's not getting thrown at, because teams respect him now.
Is that good?
Against the Chargers, there was one ball thrown his way, and you want to know what he did? He broke up the pass in the end zone. So they're not throwing to Eddie Jackson. And about the Raiders game, is when you lose Akeem Hicks, who is a force up the middle, you cannot run on Akeem Hicks up the middle. He can play nose guard, and he can clog both gaps at the same time. He's an animal. When you lose him, when he goes out of the game early, you're not prepared to play a game without Akeem Hicks. So even though you've got Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack on the edge, who are dogs, you are relying on some other guys to step up. And yeah, Eddie Goldman's really good. And yeah, Roy Robertson Harris is really good. But they weren't game planning to have those guys be the primary run stoppers, right? And so that's some struggles. And I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. The defense hasn't perform to where they want to be.
But they're still good. They're still
very
good.
And they're still very, very good. But you can't be very, very good when the offense is making you play on the field 100%. Over 40 minutes a game.
And I agree with that. And the thing is, I do agree with that. But when you're hard. You know, you have a good point. When your D's playing out there for so many minutes, you're going to get tired. You can't defend that much. And they've still been doing very good. Our offense was a little better, which is sad because I think we upgraded offense. I mean, Jordan Howard, he was our workhorse. I think David Montgomery in the beginning of the year, I thought that he was going to be a stud because he could catch and he could run. And we did see some potential out of him. In that last game when the line was actually making blocks and you know, run sheds and stuff like that, he did break out, but we did see that he doesn't have that breakout speed. And that's something that we saw because he got tracked down. He didn't get that touchdown. But that's not even that. When your offense has, this is something that we haven't caught up on yet, and I don't know how, when your offense has three or four first and goals and you're in the red zone, you're first and goal and you don't score and you have to settle for kicking and getting 3 points, that is unbelievably bad. Mitch Trubisky had a wide open throw to Allen Robinson, underthrew him, our run game was getting stopped, the play calling at the end, you already brought up the Matt Nagy thing, the play calling thing, David Montgomery, why would you run the ball with no timeouts? How do you do that? He ran the clock down. We had 31 seconds. We had to spike the ball with 2 seconds. Why would you do that? We wasted a play. You throw the ball. You have Taylor Gabriel. You have all these guys that had this quick speed. You give them a nice little go route, nice little slant route. They come out there. They do this. They can play. And it's just so frustrating to see that. And that's the thing. I don't know. Is it Matt Nagy? Is it Trubisky? Is it the offensive line? There's so many factors.
So Scotty's clearly getting worked up over there. Me and Keegan were looking at each other like, wow, he's really going to go on for a while.
He really had to get that off of his chest. Because
it's been boiling up.
Yeah. he did tell us before the show, he's like, I definitely have a lot to say about the Bears today. So, I mean, yeah. But also, you have to think about this. It's like, maybe in our secondary has been pretty good so far, I would say. But me and Joey were talking about this the other day. Do we switch up like some defensive schemes as well with our secondary? Because it's like the corners, I think Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara are doing pretty well right now. But we'll see how it goes with them. It's like throughout the rest of the season. But I do think we kind of need to switch up some defensive schemes because people are kind of they're throwing the ball and it's not. They're getting yards on us when we know we shouldn't.
And what's happening a lot with this defense, which is weird because Prince Amukamara is a great press coverage cornerback, is Chuck Pagano's calling these weird, like, deep corner zones where, like, the cornerbacks will drop back 10 yards and play a zone up there, leaving a pocket up close. So these teams are getting, like, 8-9 yards at completions because we're giving them so much space. But I think that is all. All of the defensive problems are symptomatic of how the offense has been playing, which is very, very poorly. I have already talked about it. There's no sense in beating the dead horse. But let's talk solutions, because the trade deadline has come and passed. No moves were made. So it's clear that the front office and Matt Nagy, they're sticking with Mitch. They're sticking with the offensive weapons we have. So moving forward, what do you want to see either out of Mitch or out of Matt Nagy to get us back on track to even finish 500.
Let me say this. I get it. The trade deadline was here. All the fans out there want Trubisky to be replaced, want him to be benched, want to get a new quarterback. We're 3-4. Three teams that were in the playoffs last year, including the Cowboys, were 3-4,
but
and the Seahawks.
You got to look
at playoffs.
How strong the NFC is this year.
And I get that.
A 9-7 isn't going to get you into the playoffs in the NFC.
It could. But you know what? It could, because three teams from the NFC could get in there. From the NFC North could get in there. In one division, they could.
That's true, but I'm just saying
because
that
the Packers are good, and as much as I don't want to say it, I think they're going to get a bye. They're probably going to finish.
They will. I think they'll get a first round bye. They are elite.
Aaron Rodgers, every like four seasons, Aaron Rodgers just decides, he's like, you know, I want to win an MVP this year.
And it unfortunately has to be this year when us Bears fans thought that we would have made it to the Super Bowl this year.
But just going back on what you said and answering your question, how do you make a change? And I know in the deadline you wanted to take out Trubisky, but the thing is, if you bring a quarterback back, if you bring in a new quarterback, you are giving up on Trubisky. And I get that he's a rookie. I get he hasn't performed, but that would be, I feel like, the final nail in the coffin is if you bring in another quarterback, all his confidence shot and you lose him.
And it's looking at how Matt Nagy has been calling plays for Mitch, It's there's no confidence in Mitch. And when you look at where Mitch gets all his stats, he is very good playing in that two-minute offense. And teams have been successful. Like, if you look at the Bills, like the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s with Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, they ran that no-huddle, hurry-up offense all game, and they beat teams over the head with it. I think that if the Bears switch to something a little more like that, a little more tempo, get Mitch a little more comfortable in that scheme rather than taking all this time, because Mitch is clearly not a play caller at the line of scrimmage. He's not a second read guy, so you need to make these quick opportunities for him to be comfortable, especially because the offensive line has not been performing well. So there needs to be an adjustment, because we saw Mitch perform last year. We know that he can be good enough to get this team to the playoffs, and I think that all falls on the coaching and the play calling.
I would agree with you that I would say it all comes down to Matt Nagy. Coaching comes a long way in the NFL. Because it's the types of play calling that you have. Like you said, Mitch is rushing. He's not taking his time for reads at all. And if he does take his time for reads, I feel like he gets worried and then he starts to scramble. I mean, he is fantastic on the run. He's very quick. And I mean, but usually he's throwing over or under, or he's just throwing the ball away usually, unfortunately, because we don't want to see that. Because you have Allen Robinson, who is one of the most slept-on receivers, I feel like, in the entire...
He's fantastic.
He's so good.
Is he, Joey?
He makes Mitch look so good.
And,
he does.
And the thing is, who said that last time and said he was an elite wide receiver? And
Scott was putting it, oh my god, Allen Robinson is elite.
Scott,
I'll give it to you. Allen Robinson's elite, but you were trying to put him up there with Julio Jones.
I don't remember that conversation, but he is very elite, and I give him a couple years, maybe he is like Julio Jones.
And Allen Robinson is a great wide receiver.
Unbelievable.
And I saw a tweet last week that was like, imagine how good Allen Robinson would be if he didn't have Blake Bortles and Blake Bortles of the North throwing to him his whole career.
That's almost as tough as the GoFundMe account that they tried
to buy out.
I remember that. That was funny.
And so you have the weapons on the offense. I just don't understand why Matt Nagy is trying to get cute, why he's afraid to throw the ball down the field. But here's the thing. Last year, he let Mitch throw the ball. He loosened the reins. I think after that week one performance, he hasn't been able to trust Mitch. And I think it's time. Mitch has shown that in the clutch, he can make throws.
But at the end of the day, Mitch still has receivers going deep. He's hitting the guys on the slot because he's turning and looking to the slot. He has guys going deep. He's just not hitting them. Either they're not getting open or he's not reading it, because Mitch has been looking one guy down. He looks to the left. He sees Allen. He looks at him for about 4 seconds. He's like a college quarterback. He looks to the left. He sees him. He eyes him down and just waits. And if he doesn't get open, he either throws it and dishes it off to Montgomery and misses him by 5 feet, or he goes to Taylor Gabriel through the slot. So is it Matt Nagy? Because there are still guys going deep.
I mean, this is I still think it is Matt Nagy, because it's like, I really have kind of lost a bit of confidence with Mitchell Trubisky because of just the way
the whole city of Chicago has.
I mean, yeah, maybe all the whole state of Illinois has. Yeah. It's like, but it's,
except unless we got some few Rams fans straggling from St. Louis.
There you go. Somewhere, yeah. But I would say I've lost confidence in him a little bit. I do believe that he could be a okay quarterback. I would say this. I don't think he's our future. I really don't think he's
so
our
early.
Future.
It's so it's, early. Look at Dak Prescott. Look at Alex Smith.
But then again, you have to remember, he was in the Cowboys system, and the Cowboys system was way better built. With the offensive line, because you have someone protected. That's what I'm saying. You have someone.
Alex Smith?
Okay, yeah. Well, it's like, all I'm just saying is that offensive line is there to protect him. Plus, when you have a top two running back in the NFL in your backfield behind you, you can't really fail. You're not set up to fail. And it's like with the Bears, it's like, unfortunately, we don't have a top two running back right now, but I feel like David Montgomery is going to be a very...
David Montgomery, if you give him a block, he's not going to go down when the first guy hits him. He showed that. He led the NCAA Iowa State in broken tackles. He is showing that he can break a tackle like nobody's business. He's a great downfield runner, and he falls... This is my favorite part about David Montgomery's game. He falls forward every single play. He gets an extra 2 yards every time he gets tackled.
A guy that I would kind of compare him to, and you know, say if I'm wrong or if you guys disagree, but I think Mark Ingram When I think of
he's like a faster Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I would say he's definitely a little faster.
And he can catch a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a little less of a power back, but that's comparable. Yeah. And I believe that he's going to be very good. We have weapons. Anthony Miller, given the time to progress a little more, is going to be good. We have Javon Wims, who's going to be a stud. We drafted Riley Ridley, who's another great receiver prospect. And it's just a matter of time before we lose out on this window of a NFL championship caliber defense.
And I'm going to say this also. I do believe that we need to get Tariq Cohen more involved in this offense because he was such a good part about the offense last year.
He's still getting 10 receptions.
Yeah, but it's like, but he hasn't been playing as well. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know if it's the play calling. I don't know.
I believe
it probably is the play calling. It's like, plus we don't have like, our offensive line has not been the greatest. We've all seen that, and that's
huge. But the thing is, and I don't mean to cut you off, but just to stay on that topic and talk about Tariq Cohen, he is when I compare our offense and our running game, I compare it to New England. Because if you look at New England, they have three running backs. Obviously, they have Sonny Michel. He's the workhorse. He gets the carries. You got James White. He's getting the receptions. And you got Rex Burkhead that's kind of doing a little bit of both. He's the third down guy. And I kind of see that with our running backs is we do have – we have Mike Davis, who kind of comes in every once in a while.
Mike Davis, one carry a game.
You got Tariq Cohen, who's kind of the James White.
Yeah.
He's getting the receptions. And then you have, obviously, your workhorse back in David Montgomery, who's coming in. He's getting the touches. He's running. And he can catch as well. So I kind of relate it to that. So I don't know if Tariq Cohen's really going to get much more volume because of what's going on and how the offense is kind of projected and how it's run. But I think he could obviously be doing a little better. I mean, when we do run it to him, he can't go up the middle.
That's true, he can't.
Maybe once or twice, but he can't go up the middle because he's so small that he will get smoked. So he has to go to the outside. He has to bounce. And don't think defenses don't know that. So if he's got the ball, they know where he's going.
And we could spin our tires on this all day, boys, but we are going to have to take a break. I know it's some heated discussion. We could talk Bears all day.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, we're just going to have to wait and see how it pans out, what changes we decide to make in the offseason. Hopefully there are at least a couple. But stay tuned, because after this break, we're going to have the best segment in all of sports talk radio. It's the Pick 6, baby, coming up here on the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND.
It's the Pick 6. Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And it is
1033 WZND.
It is the Pick 6 here on the Red Zone. Sorry, it's my first time bringing that back. I'm just excited. You know, I get to sit in the host seat today, so I'm feeling a little special. But to go over the standings here in the Pick 6.
We'll start at the
Okay, we'll start at the bottom. Keegs, I'm sorry you're picking for the guest.
All right.
Guest is at the bottom. They're sitting at 19 and 29.
Oh, that's tough.
And that's a tough look for you. We're going to hope you can bring it back.
All right.
And then our very own Hector Carrion, who is out today, he's in fourth.
He's dropped
all the way.
Wow.
He's only two spots ahead
of the
guest.
Imagine being the sports director and just not knowing who to pick.
That's tough. That's a tough look. Tied for second, me and our faculty advisor, Steve Cease, we're both two games under 500. And then I forgot who's number one. So let's get into the picks.
Let's talk about who's number one.
I don't think we need to get into who's number one.
Well, we'll let the listeners use their imagination. There's one name on the show that hasn't been said yet. And they're in first place. So go ahead, Joey. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, Scott is in first place. He's the only one of us who's even at 500 right now. So it's been a rough year in the Pick 6. But let's just hop right into this, boys. The first pick we got coming up, Vikings at Chiefs. Scotty, who you got?
You know what? I've been saying this for a long time. The Vikings are elite. Go with the Vikings.
It's a tough look right there. But I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs because Patrick Mahomes is questionable, but I do believe that they can get it done against the Vikings.
I just want the Vikings are elite take to come back on Scott so hard.
They're elite.
I'm going Chiefs. Steve is going Chiefs. Hector is going Chiefs. So, hey, if the Vikings win, that's just another game Scott's got up on us. We're going to the next game now. We've got Titans at Panthers. Scotty, Take it away.
You know what? The Titans at Panthers, that's going to be a very good game. But you know what? I think Tennessee has been playing very well this year. I like watching them. They're a very fun team to watch. I'm going to have to go with the Tennessee Titans here.
I'm going to have to go with the Panthers on this one,
ooh,
actually.
Big Kyle Allen guy?
CMC, baby.
But hey, we'll see. It's like, but I can't count out Christian McCaffrey. The guy is an absolute dog, and he is in the running for MVP this year. And easily. So I'm going to have to go with the Panthers.
He's an animal. However, this Tennessee defense is also very, very good. Mike Vrabel has done a very good job. I'm going Tennessee. Hector is going Tennessee. Steve Cease is riding the CMC wagon. He's going Carolina.
Let's get it, Steve.
Next game we got coming up, Browns at Broncos. This is kind of a trash pile game, but it's a weird week in the NFL. So this one might throw a couple wrenches in. Scott, who you got?
It is. And talk about a team that can be compared to the Bears. They had so many high expectations, the Browns. But they are not having a strong season, but they're playing the Broncos. Listen, as much as I love Vic and his coaching abilities.
Broncos are bad.
The Broncos are
Broncos
bad.
Are
Broncos are bad, I'll say it. So we're going to go with the Browns here.
I'm definitely going to have to go with the Browns as well. I do love me some Von Miller. Love me some Von Miller. He was Super Bowl MVP, but he is on a trash team right now. It is a dumpster fire over there.
And Joe Flacco is out, so me, Steve, and Hector are all going Browns as well. Prayers up for the Denver fans out there.
Seriously.
At least they got the Nuggets, right?
Yeah, it's true. They got the Nuggets.
Nuggets are looking good this year. Moving on, we've got Lions at Raiders. Scotty?
I'm sorry, Steve. I don't know if you're listening because I know you're busy up in St. Louis, but I'm going to have to go with the Raiders. John Gruden, he is a coach that I would love to play for if I was in the NFL. I love what he's doing with that team, with that program. They're coming out. They're playing very well, and I'm going to have to go with the Raiders over the Lions.
Just going to say, it's like, hey, knock on wood if you're with me. Like little hard knocks action, but I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
Oh.
I just wanted to get that hard knocks reference out there. But I am going to have to go with the Lions on this one. I kind of believe in the Lions. The Lions have been playing pretty well. So I'm definitely going to have to go with them. But I feel like that's going to be a good game to watch.
It's going to be a very good game. I am riding with Scott on this one, which is new for me. I believe in the Raiders. So does Hector. Steve, of course, Detroit fan. He's taking the Lions. Our second to last game coming up, we've got Patriots at Ravens. This is going to be a good one, boys.
This is going to be an unbelievable game. And Tom Brady is the GOAT, will always be the GOAT. And I don't want to hear anything about Aaron Rodgers. It is just confirmed. They're undefeated. I'm going with the New England Patriots.
I'm going to have to go with the Patriots as well. That defense is on my fantasy team, and my goodness, they are carrying my team right now because they are averaging like 30 points for me every game. But like I'm saying, that defense is elite. That defense is looking great.
I am actually playing Keegan in fantasy this week, so let's hope for a good showing from the Ravens. Steve and Hector both went Baltimore, and I've got Patriots circled on my sheet, and I think I'm going to stick with it, but I'm not confident in that pick because Lamar Jackson is insane.
I would not be surprised if the Ravens did end up beating the Patriots.
No, it's going to be a great game.
That's going to be a great game.
Lamar Jackson reminds me of like a younger Cam Newton just because he's just so elusive. Like Cam Newton's rookie season when he could run like that.
He's like a Cam Newton mixed with Michael Vick. he's unreal, so unreal. And then our last game, of course, as always, we've got the Bears, our boys trying to bounce back. Bears in Philadelphia. Scotty, are you riding with the boys?
Listen, I'm not giving up on them yet. 3-4, I think we go 4-4. You know what? I'm going with the Chicago Bears.
That's what we like to hear, Keegs.
You know what I got to go with? I got to ride with my team. I got to go with the Bears.
We're going to Bears all the way over here. Me and Hector both. And then Steve likes to poke a little fire poker into us Bears fans down here. We were hearing all. Thank God he went to St. Louis this week because all we heard all week was about how the Bears are below the Lions in the NFC North. And all I'm saying is it's only because you tied the Arizona Cardinals.
Like also, it's just
we've never been 0-16 before.
That's just got to say.
Out of all the bad seasons that we've had, we've never been 0-16.
That's facts.
Never been 0-16 with Calvin Johnson.
And I. And you know what?
Imagine
I live by that.
Hall of Famer
I live by that. Well, that has been the Red Zone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keegan, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure.
It has been an absolute blast being here with you guys today. It was so much fun. Thank you guys again for both letting me be on this show. And guys, you know where to tune in. Wake up normal, 7 to 9 a.m. So you'll hear me tomorrow morning. So yeah, you're going to want to tune in for that.
And Keegan, I'll say it. You're a natural. You're an absolute natural. Thanks for coming on. You helped us out. You know, obviously we miss Hector Carrion. Hector, I know you're out there listening. It's not the same here without you, but I hope we made you proud. and I hope it was a decent show for you.
And Scotty, as always, great job there on the knobs and the sliders. Scott runs the board every week, and he had a flawless week this week. And for everybody else here who works on the Red Zone with us, thank you so much for tuning in. It has been a privilege once again. We will be back next Thursday. You'll catch us 6 to 7. Hector Carrion will be back in the studio. That was the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
To hear this and other past episodes of the Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into the Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.